Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations. Today we're airing the third segment of Dr. Brian Chappell's message, Celebrating Generations, that he shared at our CEF Fall Fundraiser. Our culture is dark, and many people are coming out of mainline denominations and religious backgrounds asking, where is truth? Where is hope? But at the same time, there are parents of children wanting help and hope for their children, and they are not only turning to the church, but they're turning to the Lord. I hope you enjoyed listening to Dr. Brian Chappell's continuing message on celebrating generations.
Now, the culture is in some ways even worse what I've just said to you. If you were to kind of picture the religious situation in the United States since World War II, up to COVID, kind of general understanding of how we broke down as a society in terms of religion. This is, I wish I had better accuracy, but roughly 30% of American culture would identify as evangelical. Since World War II, goes up a little bit, down a little bit. Roughly 30% of American culture identifies as, I believe the Bible, I believe in Jesus, I believe in God. Now, may not be much more specific than that. But about 30% of the American culture says it's evangelical. Now, some of you know this has become almost more of a political identification than a religious identification. Believe it or not, there are Muslims who say they are evangelical. There are Roman Catholics who say they're evangelical. There are Hindus who say they're evangelical because it's become a political identification. During the first Trump presidency, this category grew by 16%. And then during the Biden presidency, that amount disappeared. But it stays as a whole category, about 30% is evangelical. Mainline, another 30% of American since World War II, America identified as mainline. These are what, in common parlance, we just call liberal churches, all right? What is that? Bible's a good book, but it's not entirely true. Jesus was a good man, maybe the Messiah, maybe not. Many roads to Mecca, he's just one. Be a good person, love your neighbor. And about 30% of American culture has identified as mainline since World War II. 20% Roman Catholic, huge changing demographic. Why? Particularly in the upper Midwest and the eastern seaboard, strongholds of Roman Catholicism, we have what demographers call a post-Catholic society. So people identify as Roman Catholic, but they never attend Mass. They haven't been to confession in decades, right? But I'm Roman Catholic because my grandparents were Roman Catholic. So you have this huge number of the population that is identifying as Roman Catholic, though pretty inactive. Beyond that, you have about 15% of everything other. Muslim, Hindu, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, all those put together. Muslim actually much smaller than you think, all right? So depending on the reports, Muslim is no larger than 7% and probably more like 4% of American. So even though we have all the conversation, it's actually much smaller than we think. The last category is true atheist. And true atheists really hardly ever, you know, and I know the figures will not add up entirely, you know, the accordion a little bit, but, you know, never more than 2-4% in America. It's just not polite to be an atheist in American culture, right? In Canada, it's entirely polite. In France, it's almost required. But in America, it's just not good at parties to be an atheist, you know. And so very few people identify as atheists. All this held until COVID. And then people begin to say, uh-oh, things are really quite a bit different now. And we start saying, I'm not just attending church out of social convenience and convention and grandma's expectation. What else has happened? Well, you all are going to recognize that the fastest growing spiritual demographic that comes out of nominal Roman Catholics and mainline who say, well, you know, God's a good thing and Jesus was a great prophet and kind of believes what the rest of culture believes, what we might call nominal Christian. I'm a Christian, but, you know, in terms of living the Bible is not really a regular part of my existence. That's nominal Christianity coming out of mainline. But you'd think, well, all these guys are holding fast. No. 30% of American population says it's evangelical. What percent of evangelicals actually go to are members of any church? Go to any church? Only half. So those of you who follow politics a lot, white evangelicals that kind of the Republicans have depended upon is now what percent of the population? White evangelicals. Standard number, you probably hear it in the articles you read. 14%. 14%. Now, of that 14% who identify as evangelical and go to church, here's the key word, regularly. What do you think regularly means? So it's 3 out of 8 Sunday. They go less than half the time. They go less than half the time. 3 out of 8 Sundays, they feel they're going regular, right? Now, pastors say regular is weekly. But people say, now, here's the hard thing. Of this 14%, when they're actually researched, only half of them go more than once a year. Only half of them go more than once a year. Now, it gets worse than that. How many people in American culture go to church weekly? What percent goes to church weekly? Now, if you ask them, that number will go, if you ask them, that number will go up anywhere between 15 and 30%. Of all of these, we'll say, we go to some synagogue, mosque, church, we go weekly. Somewhere between 15 and 30. You know how they actually go, and you know how we find out? University of Chicago tracks cell phones on Sundays. How many people are actually going to church weekly? What percent? 3%. Now, here's what I want you to see. It's why I say young people in our culture, if they are going to church, believe Jesus died for their sin, want to witness to their friends, believe that biblical morality is the best path for life, they are some percentage of 3%. Do you understand why a child evangelism fellowship is so important? How hard it is for a young person today to live for Christ, to hear the gospel clean and fresh and right, to say, you are a sinner, but Jesus died for your sin, and he loves you, and he's made a way for you, and he's made a way for your sin to be washed away, and he has a secure place for you in heaven, and you can trust him with your morality and your marriage and your future and your struggle, and he will love you. It is so hard in this culture for young people to hear what is the bread and butter and daily work of Child Evangelism Fellowship. Can it make any difference? I will tell you, it must and can. How do we know that? If a young person in this small percentage is going to make a commitment for Christ, easily, over 80% of any young person who makes a lifetime commitment, when are they going to make their commitment? Katrina, do you know this? I'm thinking you already know. By the age of 15. So we would usually say between ages 8 and 14. Okay, that's the decision point. Between 8 and 14, something like 80%. What's the average age of people you deal with? Your kids. Between 4 and 12. You're in that sweet spot, right? You're catching them in the decisional moments, in the decisional years. So here's the gospel straight at the time people will be making their decisions. When it's so hard for them to hear any other way, you've got an entry into schools and into families who Again, parents who are saying, just tell me something to help this child, this anxious, worried, doesn't know truth, doesn't trust anybody. Give me something that will help this child. And here you are. Now, the decision is between 8 and 14. But here's what we know. Whatever is the faith of a child between 14 and 18, whatever is their faith, whatever is their faith between 14 and 18 is going to be their faith for the rest of their lives. So it's what we call sticky faith. What's the faith that will stick? Whatever you believe between 14 and 18 is what you're likely to believe for the rest of your life. Now, you'll have some ups and downs, right? Leave after high school, explore the world, experiment with stuff you shouldn't, but then you start to have kids. What do I believe? What do I actually believe down in there? That comes back. So that decisional is CEF. The church and the youth programs and the campus outreach and the campus crusade and the intervars, you know, they have such vital, but who else is vital? The famous Lilly study said this, the 5 and 5. In those 5 years inclusive, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 5 years inclusive, clearly still parents are the most important spiritual influence on children. Nothing even comes close. But if there will be five people outside parents, five people, who show spiritual interest in that child between 14 and 18, that is likely to be the faith of that child for the rest of their lives. If it's just the parents, how much credibility do you have with your children between 14 and 18? Right? You need some help, right? And if it's just the pastor, you know, the paid gun, not so much. But if there are adults who care, show interest in that child, spend time with, if there are respected peers, and usually it's those who are a half generation older who have the most influence on the generation below, right? Those who begin to influence, and you look at CEF, working with the decisional years, passing off to those who are going to care for kids in their teenage years, if the church will organize itself, if we will attend to say, this is the time, it will change the world.
Thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations as we continue to air next week the conclusion of Dr. Brian Chappell's message, Celebrating Generations. We hope you join us again next week because, as Dr. Brian Chappell said, if we will attend to investing in our children and youth, it will change the world.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. Tell me again.